Caribou Community Radio will launch our new Production Room 3, Saturday, July 9th from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at Caribou Studios. This event is open to the public and everyone is invited. We will be offering tours of the station as well as tours of the new production room, which is a state-of-the-art interview and editing room. Come test out the equipment and make your own recording. Join us for refreshments and a reception at 4 p.m. to thank the donors, foundations, and volunteers who have made this project possible. Again, that's the Production Room 3 Celebration and Launch Party, Saturday, July 9th, from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue.
Tune into KBOO for our 25-hour fundraising extravaganza of special programming and community celebration. From noon to 4 p.m., Shocks of Sheba will be spinning top-ranking reggae music for your listening pleasure, live at Fire on the Mountain at 3443 Northeast 57th Avenue at Fremont, and we'll be broadcasting the entire thing. Again, that's 6 a.m. on July 14th through 7 a.m. on July 15th to support your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Today is July 6th, Wednesday, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM on the airwaves and KBOO.FM on the wirewaves. First, a little weather. We've got some guests today. We'll be talking in many different ways, many voices, and from all four directions. We'll be speaking with leaders of First Nations who have taken justice into their own hands since American justice has failed them. And let's also say, we're talking to North America here, because we'll be speaking with one of the hereditary chiefs of the Wet'suwet'en people who have held the line, no retreat, no surrender up in Canada against the LNG pipelines. A lot has been happening in the last few days, and a lot is about to happen in the coming few days, because the 12th launches the ride for Leonard Peltier, as we all know, and 70-something years old. He should be in hospital right now, and he could be. All the prison needs to do is transfer his records. This is a sick man, a leader of his community, and a recognized artist. He's sick, he needs to be in the hospital, and the prison won't send the records. This is a disgrace. President Obama, as the flame gutters out on 8 years of the administration could easily afford to grant clemency. He could easily afford to let Leonard out of a maximum security prison for 70-year-old artist who's sick and needs to be in the hospital, had an aneurysm. Oh, it's absurd. The rest of the world is watching. Maybe we aren't. Maybe we've been ignoring it. Maybe our backs have been turned. But the rest of the world is well aware of the disgrace. We'll be also speaking with neighbors up to the north. And we don't need to talk about borders because the land is all one continuous body. And it extends into the body of humankind, at least insofar as of humankind's feet do touch the earth. Speaking of that, we've got just a little bit of Cascadia weather before we get into all of this. There are other headlines too. Mohammed Mahmoud, of course, is being granted a retrial. The first one was such a bungled mess. Wow. Come on, let's just own it. American or white or European, however you call it, justice is pretty much a bust. And we could call it bustus, perhaps. From now on, it'll be bustus. Because it was so obvious that it was a setup, a sting operation. He was talked into making threats that he didn't understand. So he's getting a retrial. We'll see what comes of that. Don't get your hopes up, though. The justice ride for Leonard Peltier is coming up soon on the 12th. They're pushing off. And joining us this morning will be Chauncey Peltier to talk a little bit more about his father's incarceration. We'll also be speaking with Dinah Zeno-Nomax, or John Ridsdale. He's one of the hereditary chiefs. And we'll be learning a little bit more about goings-on in the northern lands. Today, mostly sunny, highs around 75. And tomorrow the clouds roll in with a low around 59. And for Thursday, it's 50-50 regarding a little bit of rain. Cloudy, highs near 75. Wind pretty flat in all directions. And Thursday night, tomorrow night, that 50-50 chance holds steady. Lows around 60. See, warming up is a good sign we're going to get a little rain. Not much in the way of wind again. And on the subject of wind and the four directions heading off into an easterly direction, our friends, supporters of Chauncey Peltier, people who feel that justice is broken. And as it, I wanted to introduce Chauncey here to our word of the day. Good morning, Chauncey.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing today?
We're doing well. We've got a new word to use. Since justice no longer is a bust in America, it no longer works. It's broken. We want to call it bustus from now on. So as the wheels of bustus turn, so too do the wheels of a lot of motorcycles heading east to demand clemency for your dad, Leonard Peltier, an incredible artist, an elder of his people, and someone who desperately needs to be needs hospital care. Can you talk first, though? The reason we're here today is talk a little bit about the ride.
Yeah, July 12th, out in Banks, Oregon. If you go to PeltierJustice.com, you can see the itinerary, the website. Anything you need to know on there is on there. July 12th, we're going to have starting at noon. I'll have an open mic. I'll have some food out there. Everybody's welcome, family. Everybody's welcome. Bring your grandparents, your family, your kids. We'll have an open mic. There's sure going to be some flute players, some drummers. And the 13th, the next following morning, we're going to take off about 10 o'clock. We're heading for D.C. in support of clemency for Leonard Peltier. Leonard Peltier is one of the biggest rights violation cases in U.S. history, and he's one of the longest-held political prisoners in the United States.
How long has he been in prison now? Just for refresh people's memory.
He's been in prison for 41 years.
Yeah.
And us taxpayers have been paying 41 years to keep this man wrongfully incarcerated.
And not, this is proof positive, if anyone ever doubted, that that artists are dangerous. This is a people, this is a maximum security prison we're talking about here. Yes, right. As, I mean, that's part of the absurdity of this.
Yes. Leonard's in Coleman, Florida, in a maximum security prison at 71 years old. His diabetes, it's a constant fight with his diabetes. Six months ago, he got diagnosed with an aneurysm. And Leonard's health ain't very good. And Obama's asking to see all the supporters in the United States support for Leonard. So I'm asking anybody and everybody, if you ever was a supporter for Leonard, he needs your help now more than ever. We need to send this man home so he can get some good health care and get this stuff taken care of. This used to be the land of the free and the proud and the innocent until proven guilty, and you don't hear that anymore. Leonard's been wrongfully incarcerated for 41 years, and it's time for the justice system to go by their own set of rules and start honoring, their own rules and sending Leonard home, because in the 90s, you had Democratic Republicans. Judge Haney and the Attorney General said there's no evidence of this man doing this. He needs to be set free to retrial, and they won't honor that. 10 months ago, I had Leonard's art at the Tumwater, Washington. They had it removed, and they're still violating this man's rights. That's part of the rehabilitation program for inmates in prison, is their art. And no matter what you did as an artist, you have your right to show your art as an artist. So it's been 41 years and you're still violating this man's rights. You don't have Democratic and Republicans, the Supreme Court judges and attorney generals honoring and backing up people that, they've been backing Leonard up because of his case and the biggest rights violation case in history.
Most of the only people that remember that the people that really have it in for Leonard Peltier, everyone else in the country, I've spoken to people that thought he'd been freed years ago. I mean, it's that unimaginable. Chelsea, thanks so much for that. We're going to be speaking with Chelsea Peltier again and again up until the ride and on and beyond that. We'll be following the ride across the country on Air Cascadia, so do stay tuned for that. I want to thank you so much for that, and we're going to speak now with John Ridsdale, Dina Zenomax, I hope I said that correctly, and we're going to talk a little bit about some changes and some movement afoot in Canada. This week saw the huge triumph of First Nations people, and a press release came out. One of the signatories to that release is my guest today. We talk a little bit about some of the events up north. Good morning, John. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning. Chief Nomox here.
Well, we welcome you. We're honored that you take time to speak with us. Could you talk a little bit about that press release and why the importance of the events of the last few days? This is indeed a triumph.
Yes, what it is actually the press release acknowledges the fact that we as hereditary chiefs, we have jurisdiction on our territory, the Wet'suwet'en, what we are. We have 22,000 square kilometers of unceded, undefeated, non-treaty land, and we are the authority on the land. And what's been happening is our current government, well, the past government and the one that is newly elected this past year, have decided that they would have the authority on the land when it comes to industry. Like the big ones that we're fighting right now are proposed pipelines and LNG plants, oil pipelines, you know, throughout the territories that would hurt not only our territories but other nations as well, because everything that they propose is to hurt our water, and our water flows to the first and second largest salmon runs in Canada. And so it's our duty to look after that water, those salmon, our rights, our freedoms, our jurisdiction. Because here in Canada, we're in the United States, you have states, up here we have provinces. And currently, the province, they have an assumed and presumed authority. Well, each time we've gone to court, we've proven our authority on the land. We've never been removed from the land. We have the connection, we have our culture. And so we listen to our people, which is truly democratic. And so court decisions in the past and now movements that are happening now are consistently proving that. We have the longest winning streak in Canadian jurisprudence, well over 200 court cases across Canada that state that First Nations do have a right to speak, in particular the Wet'suwet'en, as we are non-treaty.
So this, so what is this in the midst of all of this? Could you tell people what the new BC Societies Act is? We just before we have to let you go soon for today to wrap up, to, just to speak briefly on that. We would like to invite you back. We're honored that you could take the time to speak today. And I'd like to invite you back soon to continue with this.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be more than welcome to share the information and what we have going here.
How would you how would you then wrap this up, and what words do you want to leave our listeners with to encourage people to understand this?
Just the fact that as human beings, us as Canadians, we have certain rights, we have certain jurisdictions, and we should exercise those. Never be silent. Always put your voice out there. When there is something that is detrimental to your way of life or your future, do not sit there and be quiet.
It's no retreat and no surrender. Thank you so much for that. I'm very, very glad you could take the time to join us today. My guest is John Ridsdale, Hereditary Chief is Lynette Zane Wax. Thanks for being with us. This has been Air Cascadia for July 6th, Wednesday, 2016. Engineering Today, Tammy Dean. Thanks, Tammy. Catherine Stevenson is the KVO AM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm